Hi, my name is Don. This is my wife, Carrie, and we're here to tell you about a brand new class that's going to be offered here at Shelby Christian Church called Reboot Trauma. How many times have you come into work Monday morning, or have you walked into church on Sundays and people ask you how you're doing, and you say the word fine? Well, the truth of the matter is a lot of times aren't fine because we're dealing with trauma in our everyday lives.
A lot of people know that trauma can hurt your physical body, or they know that trauma can hurt your mind and that trauma can hurt your heart. But do you realize that trauma can also hurt your soul? This course helps you deal with the soul wounds of trauma and really does help give a way that you can heal and move forward. It is offered with dinner, and it's for singles or couples. You bring your spouse if you're married and one of you has gone through trauma, so you can work through it together. And we hope you'll join us on the path.
Thank you.
We love our partnership with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. FCA sends hundreds of students to leadership camp each summer. The money raised through the water bottles assists students with the resources needed to attend camp. So if you recently grabbed a water bottle, please return it by this Sunday, April 14th. We still have 52 bottles unaccounted for. And welcome into church. Service will begin shortly, but first, here's a few announcements to keep you in the know. Our men's conference is a little over a week away. Never too late to register for this event. We are taking walk-ups the day of when the events kick off on Friday. If you're visiting for the first time today, please let us know. We're excited you are here. Please visit our I'm New wall located in the lobby. We want to connect with you, and we even have a gift for you. Most of you know about Pathways, but for those new to Shelby Christian, this is for you. Pathways is our on-ramp to membership and involvement. It's comprised of three separate sessions to educate you on who we are as a church, what we believe, and invite you to be a part of what we call our community of changed lives. We schedule these normally on the third Tuesday of every month. Our next session is quickly approaching, so if you're thinking, yes, I need to know more about this, then log on to our website today, find the events tab, then click on Pathways. There you can sign up. We make it easy and enjoyable by offering a meal and childcare. Club 65 is having an event here on April 30th at 1 p.m. They're calling it a blast from the past and will feature a hot dog lunch enjoying the golden oldies. If you plan on attending, please notify us by contacting the church office before April 26th. Call 633-5975. You have an opportunity to help our Dominican Republic mission trip. On Sunday, April 14th, there'll be a bake sale in the lobby to benefit this trip. And speaking of missions, our Guatemala mission team is back home safely, and we want to celebrate all that happened over there, especially the baptisms. So let's celebrate together the baptisms that happened last week here and in Guatemala.
Were up there. That's a great thing to run into, right? Well, let's everybody stand up to our feet. We're going to dive right into praise and worship. This first song, I think this first song's new. It's the first time I sang it, but let's all join in together. When you know it, sing it out. Let's put our hands together.
Yeah. ground as nations rise and fall. Kingdoms restored, now shaken. We trust forever in your name, the name of Jesus. We trust the name of Jesus.
When you
Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me, come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me.
Sing that loud.
Holy Spirit.
Every song must end. end of your song. But you've got a lion inside of those bones. Get up and praise the Lord.
Come on, my soul. Take a moment and worship him today. Would you just take a moment and let him know that you're singing hallelujah to him, that he is worthy of all praise and he is worthy of all honor, and that our thanks cannot even begin to express all that he's done for us. Lord, we just love you. We're so grateful that we can be here in your presence, and that we can worship and honor your name. Be glorified in this place today. God, be glorified in every heart and in every mind. And as your word comes forward, God, be lifted high in that. And God, let us not leave here the same, but let us leave changed and transformed by the power of your Spirit. Lord, we put ourselves in your hands. And we love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated.
Pleasure I made you, for joy you exist, for fellowship I gave you life. With words I am honored, with song I am loved. Your prayers, they set me apart. Of all of these facets, I hold one above, that worship comes straight from your heart. For I do not dwell in the buildings men build. My altar is not made of stone, but rather I live in the hearts that I've filled. It's there that I sit on my throne. Whatever you eat and whatever you drink, whatever you do or whatever you speak, do it all for my glory and not for what men think. For this is the pleasure I seek.
What's up, church? We are so glad that you guys are here today. It's going to be a little bit different, this part of the service, because Stu and I are just going to tag team, because we're continuing talking about what we started last week in our kind of Let's Go Live It Out, which is all about our core values as a church and the things that we view as important. And if you were with us last week, hopefully you remember. If you weren't, let me bring you up to speed really quickly. These banners over here on the wall, especially the five long ones that are up there, have been there for quite some time. Some of you have been noticing those every week for years now. Some of you may have walked in for years and never noticed there were banners over there. That's a different issue. We'll discuss at a different time. But if you've noticed the banners, we really focused in Pathways. We really focus on talking about worship, study, serve, give, and share. Well, in the last 6 months or so, it dawned on me that there was this other core value that we talked about last week that's not a new core value. We didn't make it up, think it up. It's been there. We just needed to acknowledge it, and that is the pray. And that's what we talked about last week, that over everything we do, there is a spirit of prayer that has to hover over everything. And so we talked about pray last week. That's why we've got the pray banners over all five of those. So today we want to transition into worship. And that's what Stu and I talked about, just doing this together. We're going to kind of go back and forth and just talk about some things about what is biblical worship. There are understanding of that. And a lot of it has to do with the words in that video we just watched. That's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. And the heart of worship is critical. It's really where it all is. Because if the heart's not there, all you have left is something that's manufactured. And it's all about having the heart of worship. So Stu was telling me this week, he'd read some stuff. There's an old song, not that old, but 30 years old, that we sing occasionally. We sing a lot, called Going Back to the Heart of Worship, written by a guy named Matt Redman. And Stu found some amazing information about that this week.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It was at a time, it was in the late 90s, and I just was getting stirred up in my spirit to be a worship leader. And so during that time, Matt Redman was also a worship leader. He's from England. He's from a church called Soul Survivor. And he wrote this song called The Heart of Worship. And the reason why he wrote the song was because his pastor did something really radical at that time. He said, you know what? I think we need to go back to the roots of worship. So the only way I know how to do that is I'm going to strip away the sound system, and I'm going to strip away the band and the choir or whatever else that they had. We're going to go back to the heart of worship. I don't recommend that here for Dave to say, but that's what they did in that time period. And out of that, this song was wrote. And the song, you know, basically said, when the music is stripped away and all is faded away and there's nothing left, I just simply come offering praise to God that He deserves. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you require, but it's something deeper within. And that's where that song came from. It's through that experience. So that was an awesome thing that they did.
And I think it's so critical because there is a mistake that has been made in Christendom. Forget what signs, what names on the sign out in front of the church. There's a mistake that's been made for the last several generations. And the mistake is that we talk about worship and everybody's talking about the music and the singing. Now, that's part of worship. Don't misunderstand me. That's part of worship, but it's part of worship.
Right.
What we do when we come together for fellowship is part of worship. When we take communion together, as we'll do at the end of service today, that's part of worship. When we give our tithes and offerings, that's part of worship. When we listen to whatever message God has to share, that's part of worship. When we pray together, that's part of worship. But we've made this mistake. In fact, you'll see somebody maybe tomorrow, and they'll say, man, church yesterday, the worship was awesome. And they're probably talking about the music. And that's great. That's great. But That's too narrow an understanding of what worship is. And Jesus, when he was still on the planet, walking and talking and teaching people, he said something that John recorded in John chapter 4. He was talking about worship, and he said, there's a time that will come when true believers will worship him in spirit and in truth. And then get this, 2,000 years ago, he said, and that time has now come. Well, if that time had come 2,000 years ago, I think it's still here today that we're called to worship him in spirit and in truth.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think something in there that I actually pulled out of there as I studied that part of that, John 4:23 says this, but the time is coming indeed, it's now here, that when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and the Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. And I noted that John used the word worship, but I think a Greek translation had two meanings to this, and it means to kiss toward. So when you think about that, I'm not talking about you actually literally kissing God in that moment of worship, but it's out of a reverence, out of a fear reverence, like we reverence a king. You know, in the years of old, whenever a king was present, they would come in there into his presence and they would bow before the king. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they would actually kiss the ring of the king. So I think that's where, you know, actually kind of the translation of that came.
And I think it's also important for us to think about that spirit and truth. All right. There are today lots and lots and lots of churches that have some really intense emotional worship services. That there's some just raw emotions that are displayed and exuded during worship. And some of those churches do that and they have no real truth. They don't have anything that they can really stand on. It's just emotional. On the other hand, there's a lot of churches that feel really confident about their truth. In fact, they'll bang you over the head with their truth, and there's no spirit in what they do. And so I think it's critically important for us to have, because the emotions that we do have are given to us by the one that gave us truth. And so I think it's important that we acknowledge and exhibit the spirit of worship, but that we make sure about the truth of worship. That we focus on the word, not just on the spoken word. I've talked about several times recently how when Jason or Bobby or whoever's up here preaching, we use the screen and we put scripture on the screen because we want you to make sure that you see the words of scripture. But I know that you guys spend a lot of time too when we're picking the music to sing, focusing on the words.
Yeah.
And what do the words say? And is it truth? And is it truthful? Yeah. And so I think it's critically important that we focus both on spirit and in truth. And that helps us understand the heart of worship. Another thing I think that we've got to do if we're going to be able to worship as God would desire us to do, and that is we need to prepare.
Yeah.
We need to prepare for worship. Now, for you guys that are Sunday morningers, I could say there's been a phrase that I've tweeted out and everything for years that now with Thursday night worship, I've got to adjust how we do that. But with Sunday morning worship is a Saturday night decision.
Amen.
It's got to be a Saturday night decision. If you're a parent, there doesn't ever need to be a discussion at your house with your kids on Sunday morning, are we going to worship? It's just part of who we are. It's a decision. There needs to be that preparation for that. And the preparation begins with it just being a mindset. Just being a mindset. And it needs to be like getting some rest. Getting some rest. You know, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do on the weekend is take a nap. I give you freedom to do that. Hopefully not in the next 60 minutes, but later on today, or or maybe better on Saturday. One of the things that, in that line that I realized several years ago, that I was doing too many things on Saturday night. And a lot of times they were even church things. And I was rolling in and getting home at 9 o'clock on a church night. And I know me enough, that meant there's no way I was unwinding and getting in bed until midnight. And so I stopped doing a lot of those Saturday night things. I've had to miss events here. I'm just like, especially if I'm on to preach that Sunday, because I'm old. I can't do it. I can't do it. This weekend, praise God, Thursday night when we were up here, I knew I had to jump back in and start talking, because if I let you talk too long, I was just going to nap on the floor. Because Thursday night, I was just exhausted. Yeah. It had been that kind of week. Yeah. And so even with some exhausting things over Friday and Saturday, praise God, I got in bed. Like, it's not me. Yeah. It's not at our house. You all have heard me talk about that. Kim's in bed at 8:30, 9 o'clock. On Saturday night, now I am. Just because I want to be at my best.
Yeah.
Not just to share with you guys, but to share with him. And so part of our preparation is to get some rest. Part of it is to pray. It is to pray. As we were planning this, we agreed to do something that Stu's done a few times here recently, but now we're committed. It's going to happen every week. That by sometime on Wednesday, if you'll get on social media and look at all the Shelby Christian social media platforms, you will see the entire song list for the weekend. You will see the entire song list. And if you're reading down the song list, you know, I don't know that song. There's this amazing thing called YouTube. And through YouTube or Spotify, you can like find that song really quick. And if you see a song and you don't know it, listen to it a few times between then and whichever time you're coming to worship. So then when you walk in here and Stu or Matt or Stacy or whoever's leading says, we're going to teach a new song.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing better than, you know, whenever I've led in some moments wherever I would strum the chord and I'd start singing and the people were so loud, I just had to stop singing because, you know, they were doing the worship. They were singing. That's an awesome experience.
And that comes from being prepared.
Yeah.
From knowing what's coming and like, oh yeah, I know this. Let's go. Let's go. Let's give this to him. I'm gonna work really, really, really hard starting this week. Also in the e-news as well, and we'll put on social to also put out like, okay, and here's what we're talking about. Like I can tell you right now, next weekend it might be a little difficult because we got a guest speaker, but I'm gonna ask Daryl, hey, what are you preaching on? Because for the men's conference, Daryl Land's our keynote speaker. And just like Matt Wilson did last year, Daryl's going to be here Thursday night and next Sunday morning. It's going to be awesome. So I'm going to find out, hey, what are you talking about on for our regular services? And we'll put it out there and we'll put scripture so that you can be prepared. Another thing you can do really quick to be prepared is make plans to enjoy God's gift. God's gift of everything. God's gift of everything. God's gift of the entirety of worship, God's gift of people, and create some margin in your life to be able to do that, to be able to enjoy God's gift of creation. Now, I gotta warn you though, you gotta be really careful with that one, because a lot of people say, well, I just worship God best when I'm just out on the lake or out in the woods, and like, yeah, I get it, me too.
Yeah.
But that can become an excuse for not doing what we're supposed to do and coming together, which is the last thing I wanted to say, is make plans to enjoy God's people. To enjoy God's people.
Absolutely.
And to know that we're family. To know that we're family. And so that when we come together like this, we're supposed to come together as family and to enjoy each other's company. And to enjoy each other's gifts. You know, when Paul talked about in the book of 1 Corinthians about how we are a body, the church is a body, and just as the body has many parts, they all have a job. And if the eye says, because I can't hear, I'm going to quit seeing, that doesn't work very well. And so if you think about that, and we are all parts of a body, that means you might be the eye. And if you get out of the pattern of worship, part of the body might not be able to see. Yeah. You may be the hands. And so if you get out of the habit of worship and the hands aren't here, some of the things that we do might not get done. You know? I don't know. You might be the esophagus. I had no idea what that would do. But
but it's important.
But whatever part of the body that you represent, you bring that to the table, and you may be the only part of this body that is that part of the body. Does that make sense? And so we need you. We need all of us to be here together. Now, when we get that, and I'm going to let Stu land on this next one, because when we get that, there are some benefits. There is really power in worship. And the overall worship idea, there's some real power and some real benefits. And I know if you were here for the worship night a couple months ago, you heard some of these, but I asked Stu just to share these again. And there's eight things that just are benefits that Stu's going to run through really quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. I loved how Dave talked about the rest part, because I think so many times we come in and we just don't have anything to give on a Sunday or on a Thursday night. Yesterday I was actually planning to get rest, but I was celebrating my anniversary with my wife Allison. We have been married for 28 years. Praise God for that. And so yeah. So a lot of you all see her singing with me sometimes. I think she'll be here for the second service. But yeah, these eight things I found a while back, and I've been sharing these things because they're powerful, they're important for us to know that when it comes to praise, things happen and it matters. So number one, everybody say praise. Mm-hmm. After I say the number, you say praise. Mm-hmm. All right, number one.
Praise.
Praise gets our focus off ourselves and back on God. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how important that is, that in this time and age that we live in, does anybody have a cell phone? Has anybody taken a selfie this week? We got to get the mindset off of ourselves and back on Him, because that's just our nature. We often see that everywhere that we are, but God deserves the glory, and worship is just putting Him back where He belongs. In our lives.
You know, Thursday night when you were talking about that, I thought afterwards, it also helps us so much when we're having a rough time. When we're having a rough time, I've told a lot of people in the past that, you know, if you will serve someone else, do something for someone else, when you're at your lowest point, it takes the focus off of you. But the same thing with this,
yes.
That when you're at those lowest points, that our praise puts our focus back on God and takes a little bit of the pain.
I can't count how many times, just being a worship leader and knowing songs, how many times I've been in just a low spirit, a low situation, a valley, and a song would just rise up. I was sick a few months back, and I just wanted, there was times where I just wanted to sing, and I lost my voice. Remember, I lost my, and I just wanted to sing. I couldn't sing, and I was like, but that's what was happening, is that there was a praise that needed to rise up in that situation to take my focus off of that and back on Him. Mm-hmm. So number two.
Praise.
Yeah. Praise brings us to a place of humility. And I don't know if you need that, but I need to be humbled. I think it's so important. When God talks in His Word all the time, He talks about having a spirit of humility. That's what He's looking for. I think David really, he just exuded that. There was times when he was high and mighty as a king. And as we look back on I guess, the history of God's people, when there was a great king, great things happened. But when there was a poor king, it just got really bad. So David could have been exalted a lot of times, but he always would have a heart of worship. So that's super important, is having a spirit of humility. Number three.
Praise.
I love this one. Praise makes the enemy flee. It pushes back the darkness that surrounds and blocks and attacks some hissing lies over you. And I know you've heard them. I've heard them. So many people I know hear them every day. The character that we think that we have, the person that we are, we try to find in what we do, you know, and who loves us and who, you know, just, I guess, praises us. But really, the truth is, our character is just defined in who He is. We find who we are in Christ.
Years ago, I was doing a bunch of study on spiritual warfare. And I think it was Frank Peretti in one of his books talks about the importance of verbalizing audibly our prayers and our singing. And he compared it to rubbing, pouring salt in the wounds of Satan. And that how much that is a weapon of our warfare. And that means we need to know these songs that you put out in the thing. We need to know them so that we don't have to be in this room to sing them, but that we can just, we can start singing those songs. And if it's just you and Satan, like, it doesn't matter if it's off key. In fact, if it's off key, maybe it's going to hurt him even more. I don't know. But to know, to be able to do that in Scripture, to be able to quote Scripture in our darkest times and to do it audibly. Yes. I know that I pray a lot just quietly when I'm driving, but I know when it's on and I'm praying audibly and maybe marching around the rooms on the inside of my house and declaring victory over something that's going on with somebody in our family and just like praying. I'm just short of like the boxing ring. Come on, let's go. Yeah. You know, but it's something about taking on the enemy with the Word of God.
Yeah, absolutely.
And audibly speaking that.
And this is one of the topics that we really need to hang on just a little bit longer, because I know some of you have probably came in here. You're in a battle for your life.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you are having the best time of your life right now. Maybe God has blessed you so abundantly. But I know the time will come when you will be in the battle for your life. Mm-hmm. And what are you going to do in that moment? You need to have God's Word implanted on the side of you. Either through songs, through the Word, by reading the Word. But just like we understand that the armor of God is all these pieces, but the one thing that we actually hit the devil with is the sword.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes from the Word.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to just encourage you guys today. Maybe if you're in a place today, find a song that will speak life, will speak words from His holy Word, and the enemy will flee. That's a promise.
Amen.
So number four.
Praise.
Praise leaves no room for complaining and negativity. Does anybody need somebody in your life that's not negative and that's positive? Sometimes even in our own prayers, we can tend to start complaining, to just pour out our problems to God. But you know, I found just by reading what Jesus said, this is how you should pray. What did He start off with? He said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." The first thing Jesus said to do is to give God praise.
That's right.
Acknowledge who He is, where He is, that He sits on the throne and that He's victorious, and that He's already won the battle. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we need to do, is allow the complaining and the negativity to be just crushed. He forgives all of our iniquity, who heals our diseases, who redeems our lives from the pit, who crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. How many needs that in your life today? Amen. Number five.
Praise.
Praise makes room for God's blessings over our lives. You know, we love the blessings, but we hate to go through the times of the trials, the tribulations, but we love the blessings. But I promise you, He will not hold back His goodness. Praise opens that gateway of blessings as it comes in, as we begin to come into His presence. It even says in Psalms 100, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving, thank Him, enter into His presence with praise, give thanks to Him and bless His name." So number six,
praise.
Praise invites His presence. Something happens when we are in His presence. God dwells. He promises in His Word that He dwells close to those that give Him praise. He's looking for that. He lives there. Psalms 22 says He inhabits the praises of His people. And 1 Peter 2 says this, "But we, you all, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who's called us out of darkness into life."
Have you ever had that moment that you were a little bit anxious or nervous Maybe it was when you were younger. Maybe it was last night. I don't know. But you were feeling that way because you thought you were all alone in your house, in your room, wherever. You thought you were all alone, not knowing that somebody else from your family or friend, that you weren't, they were just in the next room. You just couldn't see them. You just couldn't see. And all of a sudden, as soon as you knew you weren't alone, you feel a little more comfortable.
Yeah.
You think about it as a kid and it's dark and you're not sure. And all of a sudden, mom or dad walks in the room and you immediately felt more comfortable. They were already there.
Yeah.
You just didn't know they were there. And part of this praising God and his presence, it helps us to acknowledge his presence, because God being God is omnipresent. That means he's always there, always there, everywhere. And sometimes we just need to be reminded of that so that we can receive comfort in knowing it, whatever I'm going through, I'm not going through this alone.
Amen.
That he's right there with us.
Yeah, absolutely. So number seven.
Praise.
So praise, it changes our spirits. They become just refreshed and renewed in his presence. We're strengthened by his peace, and we are refueled by his joy. And through a heart of praise, we realize that God doesn't just change our situations, but he works through our problems.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and the last one, number eight.
Praise.
I love this one. It paves the way for God's power to be displayed. Miracles happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think back of the story of Paul and Silas being in the jail, and God caused a great earthquake to happen. They started to praise the Lord in that situation. And, I mean, the shackles dropped, the gates swung open. Even the guards that were there were scared. But you know what happened in that situation? The guard and his family became believers that night.
Mm-hmm.
So in that moment when they were just praising the Lord in one of the darkest, dungiest situations, they were just giving God praise. And that power just made something awesome happen in that moment.
And I think we've got to do a better job of acknowledging miracles that do happen.
Absolutely.
Because we can get caught up in fact, even in Jesus' day, they would get caught up in the supernatural miracle. And then after he had gone back to heaven, a lot of times they would confront Peter or Paul and say, well, show us something. And they were like, what more can we show you? You know, Jesus did like dropping chains, people that couldn't see all of a sudden, they like supernatural miracles, and you still didn't believe. But like, the miracles that are going on, the miracles that are here in this room right now, there's people sitting in this room right now that once upon a time, the doctor told you it's the big C and you better make plans, because it's about over. There are people in this room who the marriage was done. Divorce papers were filled out and filed, and they've been torn up. There are people who didn't know where their children were, and now they do. There's miracles happening, but just because it's not like a crippled person throwing down their crutches and starting to walk, or a dead man rising, there's still miracles, and we need to acknowledge that, because when we tell our stories and we acknowledge those things, that helps people believe that I got to get my right, because God's still in the miracle working business.
Absolutely.
And he can still change people and their situation. I told you last week that for each one of these things, we're going to give you some action steps. So let me give you three action steps for worship, all right? And they're really pretty simple. And with these, with worship, they build off of each other, okay? They build off. The first one is this. We need to be committed to individual daily worship disciplines.
Yeah.
And it's probably going okay, and I'll throw that word discipline in there, and all of a sudden it sounds tough, doesn't it? All of a sudden it sounds tough. Like I got in trouble, I'm being disciplined. No, this form of discipline is just like a discipline that is a commitment. I am going to do this. Now here's the dichotomy of it being great and it being difficult at the same time is that there is no definitive, this is what you have to do. It's very individualistic. That maybe you get up and maybe you can read for an hour every morning, and you just get up and you read scripture, and like you did, you love to read in general, and so when you read scripture, it just comes alive and you can digest it, and you do that for an hour every morning. And I know that there's some in here, first of all, that couldn't carve out that hour, and secondly, that the thought of reading anything for a solid hour makes you start shaking, and so that's probably not going to be your thing, okay? But you can still read a verse or listen to a verse. YouVersion is a wonderful thing on that you can get on your phone or your computer, and it gives you a verse of the day, and you can start with that and read it, and then just think on that throughout the day. Some of us love to sing, even if we're not good, and so we can make sure that we get up and we start our day with praise music or whatever it is. Just make sure that there's some sort of individual daily worship discipline in your life where you're drawing closer to God.
I think something too, Dave, on that. We need to also like really acknowledge what we're putting into our lives throughout the week. Because I was at a place one time in my life where I was thinking, why do I come to worship and I feel like I have to just fill me up. I need something so I can go out on Monday morning. I was coming in cranky. I was coming in upset. And then I realized I started to kind of just, you know, analyze what I was putting into my ears. And I was driving around all day long listening to the news, listening to talk radio sometimes. And I got so bent out of shape that things were so bad around me and I just wanted things to change. And then God said, look what you're only putting into your ears.
Yeah.
You know, how about giving me some praise and worship music? Or how about, and then I started to change, you know, after that. So those are some things we need to...
Computer lingo, some of you, especially the old school computer, went back when you some of them don't even know what COBOL means. But anyway, some of you old school computer people know the lingo of GIGO, G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. And sometimes the reason garbage is coming out in our life is that's all we're putting in our life.
Yeah.
And so we need to figure that out and invest more appropriately. When we do this first one, when we get this one of individual daily worship time, we start feeding ourselves the right thing, then the first spin off of that is just a lifestyle of worship. That the way we live is a worship experience. Here's what Paul wrote to the Roman church in Romans chapter 12. He said, "Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, I beg you, to give or offer your bodies to God as a living sacrifice because of all that he's done for you. Let them be living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." See what Paul was saying is that our lifestyle is an act of worship. That the way that we interact with people, the way that we interact in our home, the way we interact in our office, the way we interact when we've got a steering wheel in our hands, whatever the case may be, that's a spiritual act of worship. And it's going to be much easier to get those things right and to make a difference if we've started with the first one.
Yeah.
And we're getting some good stuff into our life so that then some good stuff can come out as we live our lives. And then the third thing, which is also a spinoff of the first one, but really the first two, is that 9:30 on Sunday mornings. That when we come together at 9:30, remember it's the body coming together, and it's important that we do that. But when you have days when it's just like, oh wow, we just had a moment, I guarantee you, it's because of a significant portion, a significant number of the members of the body have been worshiping during the week.
Yeah.
And so when they came in this room, all they're bringing is what they've already done. And so when they bring it all together, now let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. Something big is going to happen. So we focus on those three things. And it's critical because the writer of Hebrews put it to us this way. Let us consider how we spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. You know, some people tell you, like, oh, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian.
Yeah.
That's garbage. That's like saying, I don't have to go home to be married. Try that for a while. See how that works. You know, I love you, but I ain't coming home. You know, you're on your own. You know, but the Bible tells us, don't give up meeting together. And then he goes on and says, because apparently it was already going on back then. It was already going on when the guy wrote Hebrews. He said, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing.
Yeah.
Apparently there were already people that had gotten in the habit. And you realize that habits can be good. Disciplines can be good. But you can have bad habits too. And so it's all about eliminating the bad habits and replacing them with good. Because we need to do that in even more as we see the day of the Lord approaching.
Yeah.
Now, we ain't going to sit up here and be those guys that say, okay, it's going to be a week from Tuesday at 10 o'clock because the sun's going to pass in front like we're still here, right? All right? And the Bible tells us don't try to predict the time. And but you better be ready. You better be ready. And if you don't look around the world and see enough stuff going on in the world to go, that the day of the Lord, it is approaching.
Yeah.
It is approaching. And the writer of Hebrews said, don't get out of the habit of meeting together, especially as you see the day of the Lord approaching. So it's up there for a reason, because worship is critical to every person that calls themselves a follower of Christ. You can't be a follower of Christ and not worship Him individually with the way you live and as a group. That's what we are called to do, and it's a core value of our church, and we think of individuals.
I think it's important, too, that we also, you know, just recognize that we can't, you know, we can't please Him without that worship, you know, and also, too, like He promises, you know, that He came that we would have life and have it more abundantly through Him. But some of you are out there and you have a debit card that's actually attached to a bank account that's full of all kinds of God's riches and blessings, but you forgot the pin to the little debit card. And so when you go to the ATM machine, you got nothing. So through worship, we can unlock everything that God talks about, living an abundant life.
And as we move into the bottom line, you know, sometimes we'll hear about, well, I just didn't like worship today. Or I really like it when we, whatever. What we've got, ready? Everybody hold on to your seats. What we got to get in our mindset is it really doesn't matter what we like if it's worship, because we're not worshiping us. We're worshiping an audience of one. And as long as we are doing it, let's go back and let's circle back around. As long as we are doing it in both spirit and in truth, that's what's important. I'm not going to worship if we don't sing the songs I like. All right? You work that out with God. I'm not going to pray anymore until He answers the prayer I've already prayed. Okay? You work that out with God. Because it's all about God. That's why the password in here, if you're trying to get on Wi-Fi, the password for this building is all about Jesus. Because that's our password for life. It's all about Jesus. And nothing else really matters. God, I thank You for today. And I thank You for this time to worship and to think about and to process what it means to worship. God, I'm just so thankful for those that You have gifted to lead us in music, as well as those You've gifted to lead us in spoken word and in teaching and in prayer. And I'm thankful that you bring us as a body together, all with different parts and different abilities, that we come together and worship you. And worship you. And so, God, as we move into the last moments here, we're going to call people to move. We're going to call people to move to get emblems for communion and to give their tithes and offerings. And understand that's part of worship. We're going to call those that may need somebody to pray for them, to come and let people pray for them, or to come and just kneel and pray themselves. And understand that's part of worship. And God, we're also going to use this time to call and encourage any that need to accept what Jesus did on the cross, to trust in Him, to repent of their sins, to confess your name, and today to be baptized. That's part of our worship. And so we want to encourage people to do that. We know that one already is going to do that on this service and others later on today. And so, God, would you just bless us as we move right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. Let's all move, either just to get our emblems and give our offerings, move to pray. Maybe you need to come down here and talk to some of our guys about what it means to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior while we sing this song.
Grace runs, amen. While
it's just a minute, we're going to really celebrate new life. But the reason we get to celebrate a new life is what we celebrate with this. That we can know that we're a child of God because of what Jesus did. And this bread that represents his body, and this cup that represents his blood, and that we can worship, and we can worship freely because of what he did. Because of Jesus, that we can become children of God and claim our inheritance by uniting with the one who paid the price for our sins. Take just a moment, pray, and then we'll partake. God bless these emblems as we partake together. Now, let's focus our worship over the baptistry.
Yes, today I have my granddaughter, Bryn King. We're so incredibly proud of her. And Julia has been a big mentor for her, so she really, really wanted sis to be in here also. And we're so proud of what she's doing. But Julia, wrong child. Bryn, repeat after me. I believe that Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the Living God.
The Son of the Living God.
And I accept him.
And I accept him.
As my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
Because of your confession, Bryn, we are now going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sin and the eternal life with God.
You can stay standing up real quick. Tuesday night this week is Pathways. If you've never been to Pathways, come to First Step. If you've been to First Step and you haven't done the others, come go to Second Step. If you've been to Second Step, you got to get third in. Come to Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. Start off with Jesus Chicken, Chick-fil-A, and then we'll break into our groups. Bobby, wave your hand. Bobby's back here by the Next Step room. If you need help getting signed up, go see Bobby as soon as we're done, okay? He can get you signed up. Whoa. You want to talk about
That's right, Uncommon. Hello, this is hello. Hey, Uncommon is coming up this weekend. Not this weekend, but
yes,
yeah.
Well, coming weekend
on the 19th and 20th. So if you haven't signed up, I know we got a board over here. If you have signed up, sign up on this board. We'd love to just show off, hey, these are the guys that are coming, and maybe make a few of you guys that are like not committed yet, maybe you feel a little bad about it. I don't know, but but please, if you can be here, and even if you haven't signed up yet, you can come day of. If you can only come on a Friday or on a Saturday, do that. I guarantee it's going to be life worth changing, all right? So is that it, Dave? Anything else? What is it? Donate meat. That's right. If you have any meat that you can donate for men's conference, please see Dave because, you know, we're going to grill a lot of meats. We're going to smoke some meats. And we're going to eat. We're going to eat. All right. So just like men. All right. So get out here. Go love God. Love people. And watch them change the world. See you.